You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Earlier this week, the Greens made renewed calls to the government to recognize Palestinian statehood and place sanctions on Israel. These calls were made both in light of the 80th session of the UN General Assembly, which opened last week, as well as the recent 20,000-strong pro-Palestinian protest in Tamaki Makaurau, being the largest pro-Palestinian protest in the history of Aotearoa. Additionally, the Greens called for the voting period on the Māori wards referendum to be extended after candidate profiles were omitted on voting packs in a number of districts, despite being listed on voting papers. Voters on the Māori roll in affected districts had been receiving letters with the missing profiles, but concerns have been raised about the impacts to voter access to information caused by the error. And last week, the latest emission trading schemes auction in New Zealand, which was held on the 10th of September, failed to attract any bids and resulted in no clearing price, making it the third consecutive failed auction in 2025 and the eighth consecutive failed auction overall. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, we spoke with MP Ricardo Menendez March to discuss all of these issues. To begin, can you tell us in your own words about why the Greens have renewed calls to the government to recognize Palestinian statehood and to sanction Israel?
We have recently seen, just last night, that one of the top UN bodies has declared that there is a genocide unfolding in Gaza. We have seen this genocide live streamed directly to our phones, the horrendous imagery of people being burnt alive by Israel. And one of the things that New Zealand can do is impose sanctions on Israel as a way to actually punish Israel for the genocide that they are committing. Recognizing Palestinian statehood is about honoring the fact that Palestinian people have a right for self-determination and the recognition of statehood is part of that. But right now, our priority needs to be an ending this unfolding genocide.
Winston Peters is set to announce the government's position on Palestinian recognition next week at the UN General Assembly. Do you think the recent march in Tamaki Makaurau and show of support for Palestine across Aotearoa might have an impact on the position he takes?
I think Winston Peters will do what Winston Peters does. What I think is really important here is for Christopher Luxon to realize that he's growing increasingly out of touch with the New Zealand public, who I believe opposes this genocide, wants all of us to recognize the humanity in each other, and that if this was happening in our soil, we'll be pleading to the international community to take action. So it is time for the Prime Minister to grow a spine and to impose sanctions on Israel as well as recognize Palestinian statehood.
In response to another series of protests held by church ministers at a number of coalition offices in Wellington, David Seymour said that while the government was still committed to a two-state solution, their position on Palestinian statehood recognition would remain unchanged due to the continued presence of Hamas in Gaza. How would you respond to that?
David Seymour may want to have a really deep, long reflection as to why he's regurgitating genocide apologist narratives in light particularly of the most recent report produced by the United Nations confirming there is a genocide happening in Gaza. It's really disappointing and extremely concerning to see our Deputy Prime Minister being a genocide apologist when we need Christopher Luxon to take action. He should immediately chastise David Seymour and take action to punish Israel for the genocide they're committing.
Additionally, and going off of that, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon referred to the coalition's approach to the war in Gaza as being, quote, very consistent and very balanced. Do you think this is true?
It's completely untrue. We're actually becoming an outlier internationally when it comes to taking action, both when it comes to Palestinian state recognition, but also taking action against Israel for the genocide that is happening. And this matters to us in the soil because it's about our shared humanity. We should not be allowing a genocide happening anywhere in the world. And that is why Christopher Luxon needs to realize that this is just empty rhetoric. He's just sitting on his hands and not taking enough action to punish Israel for the genocide that they are committing. We have taken action against Russia for the war that they're waging in Ukraine. And we should be taking action against Israel for the genocide that they're committing right now.
And last week, New Zealand voted in favor of a UN General Assembly resolution endorsing a two-state solution between Israel and Palestine, joining 142 other countries who did the same. Do you think this is, at the very least, a step in the right direction?
It's empty words unless we do it domestically. We've had enough of a prime minister and foreign minister going overseas and making all these remarks without taking action domestically. These words mean nothing if we're not going to, as a country, recognize Palestinian statehood and impose sanctions on Israel.
All right, moving on to the next topic. The Greens recently called for the voting period on the Māori wards referendum to be extended after candidate profiles were omitted on voting packs in a number of districts, despite being listed in voting papers. So next I'd like to ask, can you tell us about why the Greens are calling for the voting period on Māori wards to be extended?
Because right now, due to errors produced by other parties, and by parties I mean other agencies, we have seen voters not have the adequate information to make a decision both on who they're voting for, but then therefore have enough information about who the Māori ward candidates are to then make an informed decision on this referendum. Māori wards are critical to have Tangata Whenua representation. It gives us a unique identity as a country, and voters deserve to have adequate information to make an informed decision, not being forced to the polls with incorrect information in the booklets about who is standing in their area.
Given that the affected voters will receive the missing candidate information only by letter, is there anything else that councils or electoral service providers could do to ensure that all voters are equally well-informed?
They could have reprinted those very same booklets. They could have taken an additional effort to platform the people who they have omitted. There are many steps that they could be taken to find a recourse for the mistake that they've made, but extending the referendum is also something that they can do so that it gives them time to work through the mistakes that have happened that have disadvantaged specific candidates and therefore put the integrity of our democratic process at risk.
Do you think that this incident is indicative of wider structural issues regarding how Māori wards have been treated in the electoral system?
We have seen across the board, particularly with certain politicians, peddling negative and misinformed narratives in relationship to Māori wards. I think at the end of the day, this also raises questions about how we run local government elections and the fact that in many cases we end up basically contracting private companies to run them. And that does raise concerns around the integrity of the process, but then the quality of the elections that we run. My call to people listening right now is that make sure you talk to your peers about the importance of voting in the local government election, because these are the people who will be deciding critical things about our infrastructure, about the future of our cities and towns, and that's where the energy should be put into right now, into making sure we have good representation at the council table.
And do you think there's enough scope under the Local Electoral Act to push for a legal challenge if the voting period isn't extended?
I will be supporting anyone trying to take action to make sure that there's an adequate recourse to ensure that this referendum is being held, giving people enough information to adequately participate in it, and that councils take adequate steps to make up for the really serious misfortune that we have seen in omitting specific candidates from the booklets. That actually is one of the few pieces of information voters have to be able to understand what candidates are standing for.
All right, moving on to the last topic. Last week, the latest ETS auction in New Zealand, which was held on the 10th of September, failed to attract any bids and resulted in no clearing price, making it the third consecutive failed auction in 2025 and the eighth consecutive failed auction overall. Next, I'd like to ask, what do you think the most recent ETS auction says about the government's climate policy framework?
But they're simply relying on the market to address the climate crisis, and that has shown to not work. At the very same time, we've got a government that is not cutting pollution at its source, that is not adequately investing in things like public transport that not just help people get around our cities faster, but also cut pollution. A government that is reopening oil and gas exploration, and they're at the same time relying on people with resources to bid at these auctions to then meet their climate targets. We need a government that is genuine about the climate crisis and recognizes that the cost of living crisis and the climate crisis are intricately connected. The less action we take on climate action, the more expensive it will become to fix it, and the more impacts of climate change we'll see in our communities, like extreme flooding events that end up costing our country and our communities a lot of money, and including potentially people's livelihoods.
So just to reiterate, is the government relying too heavily on offsetting emissions to meet its emissions reduction goals?
The government is not cutting pollution enough and is relying on the market to offset emissions. This is effectively just giving polluters a pass to continue destroying our natural environment. And this is why we need a government that takes the climate crisis seriously and recognizes that there are solutions to the climate crisis that can also make life cheaper for people. Like, for example, investing in solar energy and installing solar panels in our schools and marae and other public buildings like our hospitals to make sure that we can drive down electricity bills.
And are there any reforms that a Greens-led government would make to the emissions trading scheme?
We have released Hirana Mata that talks about making sure that we overhaul the emissions trading scheme. But our priority when it comes to climate action is to not just focus on the emission trading scheme, which in and of itself does not guarantee that we cut pollution and emissions at the source. It's about investing in infrastructure like rail networks and public transport, better bus routes and more frequent public transport as well. And that we also solarize our country by installing solar panels in marae and schools and other public hospitals to make sure that we can drive down electricity bills as well.
And that was Green Party MP Ricardo Menendez-March talking to us about the Greens' renewed call for the government to recognize Palestinian statehood, the Greens' call for an extension on the Maori wards referendum, and the most recent failed emissions trading scheme auction.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.